darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord. To him who loves us and has washed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. All over the world, people know how seeds work. Yes, those tiny things that go in the ground, those seeds. Otherwise stated, they know everywhere around the world. They know that if a seed is planted into the soil, then trees and fruits and crops grow. All over the world, people understand that mankind cannot make a seed germinate and mature. That is to say, mankind cannot get into that soil, into that ground, to manipulate and force the seed to develop and sprout. All over the world, people understand that when a seed is planted, a farmer must wait patiently to harvest the crop. All over the world, people understand that if a good harvest is desired, that one must first start with good seed. Now, this common knowledge about the seed and planting and harvest and farming, it really helps us understand Jesus' parable to us in the Gospel of Mark from our reading this morning. In this parable from the Gospel of Mark, the good seed, it is the Word of God. The person sowing and planting that seed is the Lord. The ground and the earth are those living underneath God's reign and rule. Therefore, what Jesus is attempting to do in this parable is to grant us faith and encouragement that the Word of God, yes, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is planted into the lives of people through the preaching of the Word. This preached Word has the power to not only convert sinners, but to cause us to live a Christian life as well. Keep in mind, though, only God produces life. He does this through seed, both physically and spiritually. At creation, at the very beginning of all things, God put a seed into plants, and he put it into animals and humans for reproduction. Seeds fall from plants to the ground. A man plants a seed into a woman, and life is produced. Likewise, the Word of God is a seed as well. It is cast out into the world from pulpits just like this. It is cast into the ears, into the minds, and into the hearts, and into the souls of people just like you and just like me. And through this powerful seed, the Word of God, yes, the Word of God proclaimed, faith and forgiveness, life and salvation are created and they take root. In our North American context, though, we are rather impatient. We're impatient with the seeds taking root. All of us are like impatient little children. All of us are, yes, like impatient little children. The day after corn seed is planted, we expect blades of grass. The day after that, we look for leaf sheaths. Then the next day, we expect nodes to develop. By week's end, we hope for ripe kernels that have fully emerged. Now this is so. We're impatient, and this is so because we are surrounded by a culture that expects instantaneous results. With hyperspeed technology of smartphones, fast food restaurants, and the advancements in traveling, we have come to expect things instantly. Even in our small little town of Gwinner, Fargo is only an hour away, Amazon delivers in 2 days. We really don't have to wait for anything. Everything is at our fingertips. Now, I mention this because we then carry these expectations of instantaneous results into the church, which then creates tremendous problems. Permit me to explain. As Christians, we can acknowledge that it is good when the Word of God is preached into the hearts and lives, that the gospel seed is cast into the soils of ears and hearts and the minds of people. However, like impatient children, we want to see things happen right away. Pastors, like me, often feel discouraged when they do not see immediate fruits of the proclamation of the Word in parishioners. And you, as parishioners, you can get frustrated when the pews don't fill up. Yes, you may want to see your small congregation grow overnight. Indeed, as the church, we can all agree that planting seeds, that is to say, proclaiming the Word of God, is noble and it is good. Seeing the ultimate end of a fruitful crop, that is to say, new converts and full pews, is also gratifying as well. However, waiting and trusting that the gospel seed will germinate and will grow is the difficult part. It is difficult to wait, and it is difficult to trust that the gospel seed does the work by itself. Because of our expectations for immediate results, more often than not, our impatience does not speed up the growth of the seed, but it actually hinders it. Otherwise stated, when our impatience drives us nuts, we may be tempted to try and help the Word of God along. However, in doing so, we typically uproot the seed, we make a mess of things, and we ruin everything. This was the case in the 1990s. In the 1990s, a movement came along that was called the Church Growth Movement. It was a movement that enticed me as a young Christian, as well as many other pastors across our country. This movement developed ways for the church to grow and grow right away. It guaranteed results. It implemented business principles, strategic goals, SWOT analysis, and so forth. In the church growth movement, simply preaching the Word of God was simply not sufficient enough. The gospel seed, it needed help. Therefore, the church was encouraged to create sports programs, have praise band concerts, create daycares, put rock climbing walls in the narthex, and I am serious, rock climbing walls in the narthex, have bouncy castles out front of the church for the children, give away free food, put coffee houses in the sanctuary, have raffle tickets for flat screen TVs, create target markets for evangelism, and on and on and on. Churches that just wanted to simply preach the Word and teach the Word and did not want to do all this extra stuff, well, they were accused of being behind the times and being irrelevant and not loving and not caring about reaching the lost. As time passed, in the early 2000s, another movement came about called the Emergent Church Movement. This movement told young pastors like me that the office of pastor and doctrine and sermons should be downplayed. It said this: if the church was to grow, it wasn't enough to simply invite people to the church to hear the Word of God, but the church needed to be involved in all sorts of projects and deeds in the community. As a result, church services were canceled on Sundays, and parishioners would venture out into the community to rake leaves or clean up garbage and ditches in order to make a difference and somehow grow the church by proving to the world the robustness of our love. Now, I mentioned these two movements as examples of the church being impatient. These two movements are the attempts of people like you and me wanting to have immediate fruit and results in the church. While the original intentions of these movements may have been good, we must confess that after 25 years, these two movements have done little, I repeat, they have done little to impact the attendance and membership numbers of the church. In fact, there is considerable evidence that these two movements have actually hindered and uprooted the gospel seed, the Word of God. Now, personally, I wonder if the Lord may have just thwarted these two movements as a way of showing that we are not in control. Now, given these points, attempts to help the gospel seed along are no guarantee of growth, my friends. In fact, history and Scripture have shown us the more we press ourselves to work harder, the greater the danger becomes that we think our work is what matters most, as if the kingdom of God depends on us. Furthermore, in blunt terms, we in the church can get so focused on the end results of the fruit and the matured crops that we actually neglect the preaching of the word and the sending of the seed in the first place. We can get so focused on programs and gimmicks and strategies and plans that we either forget the word of God altogether or we drown it and smother the word with all sorts of meaningless stuff. It is like we're saying to the farmer, stop fretting about good seed. Rather be concerned about good fruit instead. Dear friends, if you and I are concerned about good fruit and good crops, you and I are concerned about good seeds as well. And in considering good seed, we hear from the gospel reading today that the good seed is powerful. It is all about the good seed, the Word of God. In other words, Jesus is illustrating in our gospel reading from today that it is the Lord who does the work of converting. It is the Lord through His Word that does the work of sustaining and growing His church. The Lord does this work through His powerful proclaimed Word, the seed that is planted into hearts and minds and souls. Listen carefully. It does not depend on you and me and our efforts and our additions. It is all about the Word of God, this powerful seed proclaimed. Luther once said this, I simply taught and I preached and I wrote God's Word. Otherwise, I did nothing, and while I slept or drank Wittenberg beer with my friends Philip and Amsdorf, the Word so greatly weakened the papacy that no prince or emperor ever inflicted such losses upon it. Luther goes on to say this, I did nothing, the Word did everything. I let the Word do its work. What do you suppose is Satan's thought when one tries to do the thing by kicking up a row, by trying to help the Word along through human effort? Well, he sits back in hell and thinks this, oh, what a fine game the poor fools are up to now. But, when we preach and we spread the Word alone and let it alone do the work, that distresses the evil one, for the Word is almighty and takes captive the hearers. What this means for us is that Jesus gives us the comforting assurance that the responsibility for the kingdom's growth does not rest on your shoulders. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to supervise the scattering of the seed that is the Word of God. And perhaps He will give you the privilege of scattering the Word of God by confessing your faith to your neighbor and your family and your friends and your associates. Perhaps He will work in some other way to scatter the Word of God. The point is this, that the Holy Spirit will see to the scattering of the Word of God and He will attend to the growth Himself. The growth will not come as a product of your efforts and your skills, nor my efforts or my skills. The Lord of the harvest is in control. There's no need to worry. Truly, dear friends, it is God's word, not ours. The Lord is the one who converts souls and grows the church. He uses you and he uses me when and where he pleases to proclaim and plant the gospel seed. And as we confess the gospel, we do so knowing that the gospel does the work. It will not return void. Baptized saints, be confident. You, be confident. It is about the Holy Spirit through the sure word of God, the word that has called you, granted you faith, enlightened you, sanctified you, and kept you in the true faith. You are forgiven for Christ's sake. Baptized saints, do not let your ears be tickled by the gimmicks of mankind. It is about the word of God proclaimed from this church in season and out of season. That means when it is popular and when it is not. Baptized saints, stand firm, for it is about the word of God proclaimed, whether it is politically correct or politically incorrect. Baptized saints, take comfort. It is all about the word of God for you and for the world. The powerful word will not wither or fade, but it will indeed stand forever. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus' proclaimed word to you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.